This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
We are in the midst of a series of sermons on commitments of a church member. Now, this building is a wonderful building that God has given us, but guess what? This building is not the church. Who's the church? We are. Turn to somebody and say, you're the church. Turn to somebody else. You're the church. One more time. You're the church. Amen. And you know why the church is so important? In fact, I said last week, the church is the most important institution on the face of the earth. Why is it so important? It's because the church is God's program in the world today. The church is God's program in the world today. He doesn't have any other program. The only way that people are going to get saved, delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost, set free from what binds them, and build up in Christ to maturity in Him, the only way that's going to happen is through the church. And if it's going to happen through the church, guess who are the arms and the legs and the ears and the mouths that have got to be the ones through whom God does it? Guess who they are? Look around again. Amen. It's us. And so the church is God's program in the world today. But you know what we found out last week? Jesus said, the way that I've set this thing up to operate is that the church will be built as every part does its own work. It says in Ephesians 4, as every joint supplies. Amen. Guess what? That means there's a role for every member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is nobody who is superfluous. You like that word? Superfluous. When I first started playing football, my first year, you know, I was all excited to be on the team. But do you know what happened for most of that first year? When game day came, you know where I was? Guess, Maurice. On the bench. On the bench. I spent most of that year on the bench. The only time I got in the game was when the score was about 45 to nothing. You know what the wonderful thing about the kingdom of God is? There is no bench. Amen. The moment you come on the team, you have an assignment in the game. And guess what? I was an offensive lineman. I had the most important job on the team. Even got my name in the paper a couple of times. Amen. Now, you know what my job was? We had a quarterback. And we had running backs. And they were the glamour people. They were the ones who got to carry the ball. And everybody cheered for them. But if I didn't do my job, they were not going anywhere. If I didn't block who I was supposed to block, glamour boy in the backfield, any of you who were our backs? All right. Well, forgive me. Amen. Glamour boy in the backfield was going to get his face messed up if I didn't do my job. Amen. Now, catch this. There are people in the church who are up front, as I am right now. Everybody's looking at them and they get a lot of attention. But if every member of the church doesn't do their particular job, none of this will work. Amen? None of it will work. So God set it up for the church to be built and the kingdom to be strengthened as every part does what it's supposed to do. But what we found out last week is, just like in a beehive, there are workers and drones, and the worker bees do all the work, and the drones don't do anything but sit around taking up space and sipping honey. Amen? Jesus said, in the church, there are wheat and there are weeds. Wheat and weeds. And what good is a weed? How many of you ever go home and say, I want me a nice plate of weeds for supper? No, weeds are useless. All they do is take up space. If you have a garden, what's one of the first things that you need to do? Get out there and get the weeds out of the way. Why? Because they choke out the good stuff. And the question that we have been considering in this series of sermons is, what kind of church member are you? Are you one of those good stalks of wheat that's going to produce a lot of fruit for the kingdom of God? Or are you a weed? Go over to Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 5. Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. This was the parable that Jesus told. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now what I want you to see is this. When Jesus told this parable, he had four categories of people that you will find in the church. Four categories. And out of that four, three are weeds. We talked last week about the first category. Look at the second classification. These are people who get excited by the word. Look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 8. Oh man, how many of people here are excited about the word? Excited about the word. All right, praise God. Now, watch this. Luke chapter 8, verse 13, category number 2. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Catch this. They were excited when they heard the word. Amen? They jumped up and down. They shouted for joy. Do you understand that weeds can be excited about the word? That's what he's saying. They were excited about the word. They received it with joy. But then a little bit later, when some temptation came along, they drifted right away. They were excited, but they were weeds. I drive a Honda Accord, and it's my second Accord. My first Accord was a 1987 Honda Accord. When I got that car, my first Honda, you know what I did? Man, I sat in it. I turned on the stereo. I said, this thing is sounding good. It's looking good. You know what I did? I got out on the road. I started driving toward Pittsburgh. I don't know anybody in Pittsburgh. I didn't have any business in Pittsburgh. But you know what? I was excited about my car. I just wanted to be on the road in my new car. I just wanted to be listening to that booming stereo in my new car. I was excited. Now, 6 months later, I'm not getting out on the road driving no place just to be in my car. If I get in my car, it's because I got someplace to go. Amen? Why? Because the excitement wore off. My car was still good. Stereo still sounded good. But the excitement had worn off. Understand this. The excitement about anything will eventually wear off. Go over to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Look at what happened in the life of Israel. Talk about the excitement wearing off. God had just delivered the children of Israel out of slavery. They had just come out, just had seen the whole Egyptian army drowned in the sea after God had made a way for them to walk through the sea. And you think they were excited? Watch this. Exodus chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." You see, they're just celebrating. The whole Egyptian army, all their horses, all their chariots, God drowned in the ocean. Oh, hallelujah, in God great. Go down to verse 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel, or the tambourine we'd say today, took the timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Weren't they excited? Look what God did for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Go down to Exodus 16, chapter, verse 1. "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt." Catch it? This is 2 months later now. 2 months later. Verse 2. "Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" 2 months ago, they're jumping up and down and shouting. And now things get a little hard, harder than they expected. And they're thinking back to how good slavery was. Talking about the pots of meat we had and the bread. They didn't have pots of meat. They were slaves. They got a little meat sometimes. But they're looking back saying, "Oh, let's go back." What happened? The excitement faded. The excitement faded. They had seen God do something marvelous. But in 2 months, the excitement was gone. What was their problem? Catch this. If the only thing that you are excited about is the feelings of joy you have at the circumstance, that will wear away. That will not sustain you. You know what they should have been excited about? They saw God move. They saw God move with power. I mean, can you understand what it means to see God stand as your defender and take out your enemy, and to know that he's on your side? And if God is on your side, if God is for you, who can be against you? I mean, isn't that something to get excited about? See, that hadn't changed. So what was their problem? They were excited because the Egyptians, they hated the Egyptians anyway. The Egyptians are dead. They got excited about that. But what they missed was the true significance of this thing is God is moving in our lives. Understand this. As long as they were feeling excited, they were excited. But when the feeling went away, they had nothing to sustain them. If all we've got is excitement, we're going to lose it. How many of you know people who kind of float from church to church? Mm-hmm. You know what they're doing? Looking for the excitement. Looking for the excitement. Now, I grew up in a church that was exciting. I mean, let me tell you, the preacher would get up to preach, and he'd start preaching, and everybody would get excited about what he had to say. And every time he preached the word, everybody would say, "Amen, brother, preach it, hallelujah." Amen? We had exciting services, praise God. And you know how people evaluated the service? Man, you know, when everybody got really excited and was really jumping because of the message, people would go home and say, "Child, you know, we had church today. Let me tell you, Rev preached." Amen. But then don't ask them what the sermon was about. "I don't know, but it was good." Understand this. God is not impressed. What is it that God is looking for when we hear the word of God preached? He's not concerned about whether we get excited and jump up and down and shout amen. What's he concerned happen when the word of God goes forth? John chapter 15, verse 8. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." What is it that's going to keep us excited about the word? It's not just hearing it. It's not just a good show when it comes out. What's going to keep us excited about the Word is when we begin to bear some fruit. Guess what? When we bear fruit, we get excited because God gets excited. Amen? And so the thing that's going to keep us from drifting away, even though we got excited about the Word, is when we get excited not just about hearing the Word, but it said, do the Word, keep it, obey it, so that we can bear fruit. Here's the bottom line. What does it take for us to be fruitful? We've got to be doers of the Word. Amen? Catch it. If the only thing that's exciting you is by hearing the Word, you're going to drift away. The thing that's going to keep you going, the thing that's going to get you excited every day, is when you become a doer of the Word so that it bears fruit in your life. Go over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Look at this. Look at what Paul said to the Philippian Christian. Here's how you become fruitful for God. Philippians 4, 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What you hear when the Word goes forth, what you see, do it. That's the only way that you're going to have fruit in your life, and that's the only thing that will keep you excited. Think about this. Suppose you get a new job, and you go on that job, and they sit you down in an orientation session, and they tell you all about the company and all about your job and what your responsibilities are. Then your boss calls you into his office and says, okay, now here's your job description. These are the things we want you to do, and A, B, C, D, these are the things you're supposed to accomplish. And you take all that, and you go out, and you say, man, I got a good boss. Oh, wow, did you hear the way he presented all of that information? That was great. He was articulate. He was even funny. Man, he told me everything I'm supposed to do. And then you take that list, you put it in your desk drawer, and you do absolutely none of what he told you to do. Now, some of you are saying, that is the way I work. Now, wait a minute. How long do you think you're going to be on that job? Now you're going around telling everybody how great the boss is, how wonderful that list of requirements that he presented you was. This is so good. I'm so glad that I got this list. But you don't do any of it. What good is it if you don't do it? Absolutely none. Amen? Here's the bottom line on this. The purpose of the Word going forth is not for you to get excited when you hear it. That's not the purpose. You know what the purpose is? So that you can hear the Word, you can take it in, and you can determine within your heart, I'm going to do what I heard. If you don't take the step of being a doer of the Word, if all you are is a hearer of the Word, look at what you are. Go over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, start with verse 22. Look at this. James 1, starting with verse 22. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For if he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. How do you get the blessing from the Word? The only way you'll get the blessing is if you become a doer. Amen? Amen. Got to be a doer of the Word. You are here today, and you are sitting before me in this message, investing about 45 minutes of your time listening to this Word come forth. Now, I recognize that I have a wonderfully engaging personality. I'm good to look at. Priscilla thinks so. You better watch out, Sonia. You're on your way out. But catch it. I am not the reason for you to sit here listening to me. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you can get better entertainment on your television any day. Isn't that right? Now, the reason for you to sit here for 45 minutes listening to me is not because I'm putting on a good show. There's only one reason for you to invest that amount of time to come here and sit and listen to me, is because you believe that a word is going to come forth through me that not only will be exciting when you hear it, but that will make a difference in your life. If the word makes no difference in your life, what good is it? And if you come here and sit and listen and you don't allow the word to change you, you just wasted your time. Wasted your time. I mean, you know, I want you to come. Please come. And I talked about it last week. You know, even if the word is not your priority, you come and listen to the word, because God says when his word goes forth, it will accomplish what he sent it forth to accomplish. So if you stay under the word long enough, some of it's going to sift in. Amen? But let me tell you, if you don't want to be wasting your time, you need to take some steps to make sure that you are becoming a doer of the word and not a hearer only, or otherwise, stay home. Now, don't stay home, but you might as well. Amen? Because look at what he said. He said, if you are one who is a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, look at verse 22 of James 1. You are deceiving yourselves. That's all you're doing. You're deceiving yourself. You think that you are getting something because you're here and you're hearing the word, and the word is good. And you go home excited. Man, that was a great message we had today. I even bought the tape. Hallelujah. But if you are not a doer of that word, it has done you no good. If you are not committed to being a doer of the word, eventually you will drift away. Because understand this, and this is something I tell people when they come for membership, I tell it to them right off the bat. I'm going to say something to offend you. Whether I say it from up here or whether I'm speaking to you directly, there's going to come a time when I'm going to have to say something to you, if I'm doing my job, to get you back on track, because you're starting to get off track. How many of you like being corrected? I don't see any hands here. Amen. No. And if your priority is not that the word do a work in you, when you get corrected, even according to the word, guess what? You're going to get your little feelings hurt. Amen? Amen? So, see, when people tell me how wonderful it is here, I say, thank you. Praise God. I'm so glad you feel that way. But you know what? I don't build anything on that. Let me see where you are 2, 3, 5 years from now. Amen? Let me see what your track record is of not only listening to what I say, but taking what I say, the word of God as it comes forth, and actually doing something with it. Then we'll talk. Because if your priority is not the word of God, eventually you're going to drift away. When I was working for IBM, they brought Bill Cosby in. You know, put on a show. They did that every year. They put on a show. And this particular time, Bill Cosby came. And Bill Cosby is funny. How many of you know funny? Amen. Bill Cosby is funny. I had a great time at that show. And by the way, parents, that's the first time that I ever heard him talk about the curse. You know what the curse is? May you have a child that's just like you. That's the curse. Amen. Oh, we had a great time at that show. Loved it. It was wonderful. But let me tell you something. As great a time as I had listening to Bill Cosby, there's not one thing he said that changed my life. There's nothing that he said that changed my life. Except that I remember about the curse. Amen? Now, again, I'm not bragging. I'm not boasting. But every Sunday that you come here, because I am committed to preaching the word with integrity, there is something that will be said here that ought to change your life. There will be something that's said here every Sunday that you come, that if you will take it, and if you will begin to diligently do what the Word says, it will change your life and change it for the better. Do you know what kind of opportunity you got here? Man, I don't know how much they paid Bill Cosby to come, but guess what? All you got to do is show up. Hallelujah. And the Word is here. Go over to Luke chapter 13. Look at verses 6 through 9. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Look at Paul's testimony. 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When the Word goes forth, if it's the true Word, it's coming forth with the power of the Spirit of God. You don't want to miss that. You can sit right here and miss it. So think about it. When I leave here today, is the Word that I've heard going to make a difference in my life? Am I going to be committed to taking the Word and being a doer of the Word? Have I been listening and saying, God, what do I need to do in response to what I've heard? How do I need to be different in response to what I've heard? In what way, Lord, does it need to change my level of commitment, change my level of faithfulness, change the way I interact with the people I'm around about every day, change the way I do my job at work, change the way I talk to my husband, talk to my wife, change the way I do my work at school? God, in what way is the Word that I've heard supposed to change me? I hope you do come and tell me, Pastor, good sermon. Praise the Lord. I want to hear that. Amen. But you probably don't want to come because I'm liable to ask you, okay, now how is it going to change you? I'm not going to get any compliments now. Amen? But if the Word is not changing your life, it's doing you no good.